Sean Campbell from TSN 690 in Montreal. And Sean, yesterday, I guess all the talks are centered around Chad Johnson. The Edmonton Sun called him Choco Stinko instead of Ocho Cinco. I'm not sure what he's being called in Montreal, but I got to cut him a little bit of slack. I do fault him for not talking to the media yesterday and for how he went about it. But I think this whole thing about him wanting to go back in the NFL, it's his agent that should get the blame for opening his big gap about it, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's on Jay Rosenhaus. That's his agent. I don't put any stock into Chad Johnson and that whole story there. And because, honestly, if you were to ask Chad Johnson an honest question, and the question is, would you like to be back in the NFL? His answer will be yes. Like, I don't know what people want.
No kidding.
By the way, which phrase, yeah, I would like to be the NFL too, but that's not happening. And I think he realizes that. As for his performance, yeah, it's been a struggle for him, but it's been a struggle for S.J. Green, Jerron Carter, who's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, Brandon London, healthy scratch. It's been a struggle for anybody on this offense right now.
Right. Are his numbers down because they're not throwing to him, or his numbers down because he's not available for them to throw to him?
Yeah, they're not really throwing to him, and when it is thrown to him, it's a little bit off the mark. Troy Smith is really having a tough time hitting the mark. His percentage is way down. And I just don't like the way that this offensive playbook has been created, and there are some issues with it. And they bring in Turk Schoner as a consultant, Don Matthews as a consultant, Jeff Garcia as a consultant. So I think at the end of the day, hopefully with this past week with everybody on board, they've created a playbook. I don't know whose it is. Is it Ryan Dinwiddie's? Is it Doug Barry's from last year? Is it Mark Trestman's that was laying around from 2 years ago? There's nothing consistent about this offensive playbook. And that's where I kind of lay the blame on, not really on Troy Smith or on Chad Johnson, but at the same time, no one has been playing well.
So, really, in all seriousness, how much can Jeff Garcia do in the short amount of time he's been there? Like, what can we see different tonight, and will we see any of Jeff Garcia's fingerprints on the game tonight?
What I want to see from that transition with Jeff Garcia to the coaching staff, and you know what? I like all these moves of bringing in coaching staff. I speak with Jim Popp each and every week on the Owls this week on TSN 690. And he's like, we've been looking to bring in coaches, consultants, and then this past 2 weeks, they've all shown up. I like that they're bringing in people to help Ryan Dinwiddie. I like that they're saying it's still Ryan Dinwiddie's offense because I think he's a good offensive mind. He just needs to work on being a coach. It's only been 2 years. But at the end of the day, what Garcia can bring, I think it's a conversation, a sit-down with Troy Smith, at what it takes to be a starter in the CFL, because it's a little bit different than being a starter in the NFL, which he struggled to be, Troy Smith. But just to be a starting quarterback at a professional level, to sit down, what it takes to run an offense, to run a team, I think sitting down with Jeff Garcia is something that definitely will help Troy Smith.
Has Troy Smith talked about what it's meant to have Jeff Garcia there and what he's trying to glean or what he's been able to glean off of it? Or have you noticed a difference in Troy Smith, even in just his demeanor?
Yeah, well, he kind of used an analogy earlier in the week about all these consultants and all these people coming in just to help him become the better quarterback at the CFL level. And the kind of the phrase was, too many cooks in the kitchen. And he's kind of like, look, everybody has a chef, but you have some sous chefs, and they're great on their own. He's like, we got to get on the same page. He's not taking offense to it. He's welcoming all the help he can get. He realizes he mans up every game. He knows he has to play better. But I do think that there's a little undertone of frustration that they have when it comes to the offense that they're carrying.
4-1 Eskimos, as we're joined by Sean Campbell from TSN 690 in Montreal. Joining us here on the Jason Greger Show, Dean Millard filling in for Jason Greger. It's the 4-1 Eskimos against the 1-4 Montreal Alouettes. The Eskimos don't win in Montreal very often. Is the fan base in Montreal bracing for the worst tonight because of the matchup, the great defense of Edmonton against what's been a struggling offense of Montreal?
Well, I think Montreal's been bracing for the worst since Anthony Calvillo announced his retirement. I think that's the starting point. As for the Montreal fans breaking down Montreal's woeful pass offense and their offense against the great defense of Edmonton, I don't know, maybe there's good 25 to 50. That's breaking that down. I think the other guys realize that this team is not very good and they're facing a team that is very good. And Mike Riley's looked good. I know that they haven't won in Montreal. It looks like a perfect setup for Edmonton to break that streak coming in against a struggling team. But if the Alouettes get on the right page and are able to do some things offensively, their defense will be able to hold them into this game. And I know that the Alouettes really do have success against young quarterbacks. Where their defense struggles is more against a Ricky Ray or a Kevin Glenn that's been in the league that understands and can read their blitz and know that they're going to take a hit and still make the play. When they face young quarterbacks, they get a little bit frazzled. So this is a big test for Mike Riley to be in that pocket with a lot of pressure coming his way from Noel Thorpe's defense. And if he's able to read the defense properly, you'll see that Mike Riley's taking that next step at the CFL. But I don't know how many fans in this stadium are really breaking down that offense defense, because it is a mismatch. But it could be equal if the Owls offense can just put some points on the board.
Well, give me a positive about the Owls offense. As much as they struggled, what's something to be positive about or to be excited about the offense?
Brandon Whitaker. Every game they start, they go to the run, and he starts off well, positive yards. But they get down in the game so early that they abandon the run. And it goes back to my philosophy that there's something wrong with the play calling and the playbook that they own. So if there's a positive with the offense, Brandon Whitaker is back from his injury. He hasn't had that breakout game because he's been pretty much shut down in the second half. And I'd like to see them pass him the ball more than just hand it off, because he's great out of the backfield with his hands. They call him two-way Whitaker for a reason, and he's only really been used one way this year. So if there is a positive on the offense, it's been Brandon Whitaker when he has the ball, but he doesn't get the ball enough.
And defensively, you touched on it a little bit as we're joined by Sean Campbell from TSN 690 in Montreal. This is a defense that can make plays, and, you know, we saw it in Saskatchewan, Winnipeg last night. Saskatchewan's offense wasn't doing a lot. They relied on their defense to score points. Could the Montreal Alouettes be relying on their defense tonight to score points? We've seen the Eskimos struggle in halves. They did it against Hamilton. Could the Montreal Alouettes try and lull the Eskimos into a defensive battle and try and score defensively with their playmaking defense tonight?
Yeah, you know what? They'd love to. Every time I talk to the defense, they're like, we're our own separate entity. We're our defense. We do what we got to do. You know,
yeah,
they
don't lump us in with those guys.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that way. But at the same time, I was talking to Gerald Brown, and he picked up a fumble. And I know his first step was towards the end zone, because he knows that they need those points on the board. And it's not a slight at the offense, but they know that they're struggling and they want to help them out a little bit. And then he stumbled and he got caught and he couldn't get in the end zone. He's like, we want to put these points. Maybe a defensive touchdown will help spark our offense. So, and they have that dynamic defense that's able to do that. You know, they haven't had as many INTs this year as they had in years past, but they get the pressure on the quarterback. If they force the right play or the wrong play, they should be able to move on and maybe just get a pick six or a fumble recovery. It should go a long way for them if they get one early in the game.
Well, the bright spot for the Montreal Alouettes right now is that if somehow they win, they're tied for first place in the East.
Welcome
because
the
East has been so bad.
Yeah, it's been a rough go of it for the East. And I think that at this point, looking at the season, there'll probably definitely be a crossover. But for the East teams, I think Toronto's definitely going to get better. They've been decimated with offensive injuries, and they still have Ricky Ray. So if they start getting some bodies back from Andre Drury to Chad Owens, to me, they're the cream of the crop when it comes to that division. Hamilton's looked a lot worse than I thought they would. I thought they were going to be about a 500 team, and I thought the Owls would be a better in the second half than the first half. And, well, they better be better in the second half than the first half of the season, because it's been atrocious for the first half. And for me, Ottawa was a write-off from the beginning. So I think if there's two teams, it's Hamilton and Montreal, if they want to even this out against the West.
Right. So that was the good news, that if they win, they improve to 2-4 on the season, and they're tied for first place because Toronto is off this week in the East. If they lose, do we inch closer and closer to a coaching change in Tom Higgins?
I don't think they'll do that.
Nope.
I really don't. I think they did what they had to do with Dan Hawkins. They understand how hard it is to get coaches. They're having a tough time bringing in coordinators because they got rid of Rick Warman. I think if it all goes, you know, down under, I think it'll be an end of the season move. And I'm talking about a team that only has like 4 wins on the season, maybe they'll get rid of Tom Higgins. Maybe they'll say, hey, look, we'll give you another season to get a go at this, because coaching carousels are very difficult in the world of sports, and having a little bit of stability can help a team. I don't think Tom Higgins has been coaching his best yet, but I still think he's got a little bit of game in him. And the other options out there, few and far between, unless they want to pick a coordinator from another team. So for a coaching change in a week or two, I'd be pretty shocked if they went down that road, because they're bringing in all these consultants. They're bringing in people to help out the situation. I don't think they want to blow it up just yet.
At least Tom Higgins has been probably decent to deal with through all of this. You know, they're 1-4, but he's probably still smiled and said hello and answered your questions.
Oh, he's cool, calm, and collected. You know, he was a little frustrated after last game with the 5 points, and he's kind of like, look, we're back to the drawing board. There's not much we can do right now. We got to find an answer for a quarterback. We got to find an answer for offense. And these are answers that, you know, the media is asking. He's like, look, I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'm going to go back tomorrow, get to work, and work as hard as I can to get this done. And he's there. He's answering the questions. He hasn't been grumpy just yet, but he did talk about how this game, and if a loss comes today, that it could be the breaking point for this team.
Yeah, he doesn't get grumpy very often in the public.
Yeah,
that's for sure. He gets grumpy behind the scenes, but in the public, he tries to have that squeaky clean Ned Flanders persona going.
he's so far he's been a treat to deal with, but you know, if you turn your season to 1-5 and 1-6, that can quickly change.
For sure, Sean. Thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the game tonight.
I'm on my way to the mountain. It's going to be a nice one. Beautiful night in Montreal.